The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And a very good morning to you. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Donald Kavanagh with you on the show until 12 noon today, as the name suggests. Lots to talk about, lots of stories to be explored. But don't forget, it's your perspectives, it's your stories, it's your priorities are at the centre of this programme. If you want to make contact with us, you can text us on 086 60 25000. That number is good for WhatsApp messages as well. You can also, of course, make contact via social media. We're at Highland Radio on X, we're Highland Hub on Facebook. You can email us on comments@highlandradio.com. You can, of course, call. Caroline's producing and taking your calls. Shannon taking calls as well this morning. The number 074-9125000, 00353-749125000 if you're calling from outside of the dialing area. However you want to get in touch, we welcome your comments and your communications. You can, of course, watch the show unfold. We have guests in studio. We have guests on Zoom. You can watch all that unfold before your eyes, as it were. We're on Highland Radio Ireland on YouTube. We're also available across our Facebook pages, Highland Radio News and Sport, and you can watch there as well. And lots of ways to make contact with and engage with the 9 to noon show here on Highland Radio every weekday. And it's a very important facility that we take very seriously indeed, and we do encourage you to avail of that opportunity. We're going to start, as we always do, with a look at the papers this morning. It's a Monday, which means we have the Monday edition of the Donegal News. The main story on the front page, tragic sibling crash victims laid to rest. The funerals took place at the weekend of PJ and Una McGettigan. They were tragically killed last week. Kate Heaney has a story, tender process review for ESB site buildings, that came up at a meeting of Letterkenny Milford MD last week. The tender process is being reviewed for the state-of-the-art alpha and beta buildings. Now, they're being developed on the old ESB site in Letterkenny. You'll have noticed if you've been driving through Letterkenny that old ESB building's been demolished. All the land backing from the back of it right down to Pierce Road, that's all been cleared. These two really interesting innovation hubs are being built, the Alpha and Beta Centres. They're going to be not dissimilar to the collab at Letterkenny IT, if you can, or at the, sorry, the ATU. If you imagine the ATU and the collab facility there, you're getting something similar now in the actual town centre, incubation centres, innovation, people being invited to come in, new startups and so on and so forth, new developments, creating employment, creating entrepreneurship, and hopefully being a really, really important part of Letterkenny's future into the coming decades. The tender process has been terminated at the moment. As we understand it from the discussion at that meeting, there have been three tenders received, two were subsequently withdrawn, and the one tender left, the actual cost, according to the tender document, is significantly more than the actual amount of funding available to the council. So they're now reviewing that whole process, reviewing the funding, reviewing the money at hand. Is it a matter of cutting the costs? Is it a matter of scaling back the plans? All that under discussion by an expert group at the moment. So lots happening there in terms of that discussion. Also on the inside of the Donegal News this morning, a concerning figure, more than 2,500 referrals from Donegal to Tusla. There were more than 2,500 referrals from Donegal to Tusla's Child Protection and Welfare Service in 2023. Now that's in the region of more than eight a day. And when you think there's more than eight a day cases from Donegal being referred to the Child Welfare Agency, that is a concerning figure indeed. Looking at the Derry News this morning, shock following death of retired orthodontist. The man is due in court today, charged with attempting to prevent a lawful burial. It's after the discovery of the body of Nolo Sullivan, a retired orthodontist, at his home in the Como Road on Wednesday. A 55-year-old man arrested at the scene is due in court today. And that story, I'm sure, will unfold. Also lots of coverage of the visit of Hilary Benn, the new Northern Ireland Secretary, who visited Derry last week. He met with the mayor, held a press conference, and visited a number of areas of the city. Lots of coverage of that inside the Derry News this morning. The Irish Independent and all the nationals, indeed, pictures on the front from the All-Ireland Hurling Final. Now, sometimes All-Ireland Finals can be damp squibs in either hurling or football. Yesterday's match was, and I think everyone agrees, it was one of the greatest hurling matches of all time. Now, were Cork robbed at the end? probably. They probably were. Let's be honest about it, because I think there was a very clear pull on the shirt as they were going for that equaliser in the dying seconds. There was a pull on the shirt. Was that pull on the shirt enough to make that shot go wide? It probably was, I would have thought, looking at it, said he who knows damn little about sport. But it would have been. I think it was telling that pretty much every commentator was saying, you know, this needs to go to a replay, this needs to go to a replay, this needs to go to a replay. But it didn't go to replay, and Clare won it, and it was one hell of a match to watch. Of course, the main story on the front page of the Irish Independent and every newspaper today, Harris vows to beat Trump after Biden's shock pullout. Now, the only thing about that, the fact that Joe Biden pulled out of the presidential race was not a shock. I mean, I was listening to the Ivan Yates and Matt Cooper's podcast last week, The Path to Power, and as they were saying on Friday of last week, they were saying, you know, by the time you listen to this, he's probably gone. So, you know, the expectation was that Joe Biden was going to pull out of that race. I'd say very, very few people expected Joe Biden to go the full hog and actually take part in the presidential campaign. So he's gone, and he has endorsed Kamala Harris. It looks as though she will be the Democratic nominee. A lot to be gone through in terms of finalising that, making sure that she has the funds for a campaign, the logistics for a campaign, the strategy for a campaign. A lot of discussion to go on with regards to that over the coming days and weeks. But it does seem at this point Kamala Harris will be the Democratic nominee, and we wait to see how that particular one unfolds. Lots of coverage, of course, inside all of the papers on that particular one this morning. Interesting story inside the Independent. Health staff threaten vote on industrial action over vacant posts. Unions claim that over 2,000 jobs that were to have been filled in the HSE have been axed, and doctors, nurses and other health workers are threatening to ballot for industrial action in that growing row over staffing. Anne-Marie Walsh writes inside in the paper, the HSE says 2,350 new jobs will be advertised this year, but the unions say the HSE policy means job opportunities that stayed vacant because of the hiring ban may never be filled. They say those lost vacancies include clerical and nursing posts. And let's be honest, I mean, how often have we heard in discussions on this programme and on news and elsewhere in the political sphere in Donegal and the wider North West and elsewhere, that this HSE recruitment ban was one of the key factors that was stymieing the growth and stymieing the reaching of potential at Letterkenny University Hospital and other health centres across the county. It is a huge one. And if there is to be a focus on that whole issue of recruitment as a result of industrial action, it'll be very interesting to see how that particular one pans out. Obviously, front of the Irish Times again, Biden bows out, another seismic shift in a fractious election. That's the main story. But an interesting one further down the front page, CAMHS overhaul to include independent oversight. Now, there's been a lot of discussion in the Northwest about the community mental health centres, including the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, CAMHS. They will have an independent regulator for the first time. Under the Mental Health Act 2001, the Mental Health Commission registers, inspects and regulates all inpatient mental health services. However, it doesn't provide for the regulation of community services such as CAMHS. That's going to change. Minister Stephen Donnelly and Minister of State Mary Butler are expected to bring a mental health bill to Cabinet this week that would represent a significant overhaul of the state's mental health laws. Also on the inside of the Irish Times, unpaid TV licence may lead to fixed charge. Businesses with a large number of screens could also face higher charges. Households may be facing immediate fixed charge penalty notices if they don't pay their television licence fee under fresh proposals that are being considered by government this week. There could also be a degree of opt-in which would see a person need to key in a code to access publicly funded content. These are among the issues that are being discussed. And we do know that after last year's controversies with regards to the Tuberty payments and then the subsequent patient payments and all the discussion last year, but there was a lot of discussion at the time about people just not paying their licence fees because they believed that RTE wasn't deserving of the money. Well, if you're one of those that hasn't paid the fee, there may be some pushback from government coming down the line. We'll be watching that one with interest. Irish Daily Mail today, an interesting piece inside. Bishop Casey was a sexual predator. A devastating judgment from a former head of the church's safeguarding body. That's on the inside of the Irish Daily Mail. And there is indeed a documentary on Bishop Eamon Casey taking place tonight on, I think it's RTE television, that's on air tonight. Irish Daily Star this morning, Super GAA pullout inside Bloody Hurl, is the headline. Banner edge out rebels in one of the greatest games ever. Also Yanks a lot Joe, the Joe Biden story is there, of course, on the front page. And, lots of coverage of the, I mean, looking through the inside, it's basically Clare and Joe Biden. Donald Trump branded Joe Biden not fit to stand and accused the president of being a liar. He said Crooked Joe was not fit to run for president and is certainly not fit to serve and never was. He let rip in a post to Truth Social, repeating his favourite insult for the man who beat him in 2020. He only attained the position of president by lies, fake news and not leaving his basement. Now, that's all in there. Lots of coverage too, of course, of the Coolock, fire in Dublin. The fourth fire in Dublin at that old Crown Pain Centre in Coolock took place yesterday, fourth in a number of days. Funny, I was watching the All-Ireland actually, and at one point they panned right back from Croke Park. Now, it was a shot looking sort of over Hill 16 across Croke Park, and it seemed to me in the distance there was a plume of smoke. And I was wondering, I wonder is that Coolock? Now, my geography of Dublin in my head is woeful, so I don't actually know. In terms of looking at a picture of Croke Park, I couldn't say where Coolock was. And I was just wondering, was that Coolock? I mean, you could actually see smoke rising. As the camera was looking, it seemed to be looking over Hill 16 across the top of Croke Park, just looking over Dublin. And there did appear to be smoke in the backgrounds. And then further on from that, then you could see the mountains in the distance. And I was wondering, was that Coolock? Now, it might be the other side completely because my Dublin geography is, as I say, atrocious. But I was just wondering that, but that's in there as well. And, of course, the Irish Daily Mirror and the Irish Suns. Again, Mirror, Biden drops out. Sun, bye-bye, Biden. In fact, all the red tops this morning, basically, main headlines about Biden, pictures of Clare and their fans, and all promising big GAA pullouts and a lot besides. Dhearn's big getaway inside the Star. Dhearn Garrahy, the ex-2FM star, heading off on the trip of a lifetime with fiancé Mark Megan just weeks after quitting the station. They're getting married, apparently, in a few weeks. And under fire, Gardaí left exhausted and fearful. Two of the three Gardaí injured in the Coolock protests are back at work after thugs struck them in the head and arms with rocks and a golf ball. But sources said Garda policing the violent scenes in County Dublin are now exhausted, frustrated and fearful of further incidents. And they say they cannot protect the Crown Paints site in Coolock 24/7. Just to remind you that if you want to get in touch, you can do so 086-6025000 for texts or WhatsApps, 074-91-25000 for your phone calls, 003-5374-91-25000 if you're outside of the Dáil Éireann area, at Highland Radio on X, Highland Radio, Highland Hub on Facebook, and you can watch us, of course, Highland Radio Ireland on YouTube and on our Facebook pages as well. 17 minutes past nine. I'm going to take a short break, back after these. Now, one of the major political topics for discussion at all council meetings and indeed in the National Parliament and elsewhere is that of housing. And a campaign is being launched in West Donegal called Tog Tithe, Build Houses. It's going to culminate with a protest at the council offices in Antlochinlia later this week. Delighted to say we're joined on the line by the organiser, Rachel Ní Galachor. Rachel, maginua.
Oh, Roger, my Donald, how are you?
Very well indeed. Rachel, Tog Tithe, and apologies for my pronunciation, but Build Houses. It's a very clear message, but it's a very necessary one.
Exactly, and that's what is the objective there. It's very simple. It's Tog Tithe, which is to build houses as Gaelic, and that is what our protest is going to be about this Thursday, the 25th of July. We are going to be meeting outside of the County Council office in Dunlow, and we're asking the council to build houses. Off the back of, the recent local elections here, we found out that in the Glenties MD area, there was only 6 houses built in the last 5 years, and that is just not good enough, and that's what's compelled, I guess, myself and others to now organise this protest on Thursday, because this is something that, we can all feel and we're all living through. You're having these conversations at your dinner table all the time about housing in Donegal. It's, and it might not be that you're facing eviction, but a lot of people are. A lot of people are homeless. We have record levels of homelessness in the Northwest. this year. But not only that, there's, you know, massive immigration out of the country. And all of that is coming down to housing and the fact that there is no houses to live in Donegal. And it's just not good enough that the council aren't building the houses that are needed to meet the demand.
Over the course of the past 8 to 10 months, Donegal County Council has been holding a series of special meetings to try and get to grips with the whole housing issue. And one of the things we're hearing again and again is it's all very well looking at turnkey developments. It's all very well the council buying houses from developers. But what's missing and what has been missing now for quite some time is the council actually building themselves. Do you believe it's time to get back to the situation where rather than acquire houses from other people, the council actually brings in staff and builds the houses themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a, you know, it is a very complex issue, but that is one of the things that needs to be done. Like, the fact is that the houses aren't being built. So, the council do need to start building houses. And if that's putting more pressure on the developers to actually build the houses or employing staff to build themselves, they need to start building houses. And it, you know, goes back again, obviously, it's a much larger issue that, comes down to the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael-led government policies on housing. And the fact of the matter is that it's not working. The government are failing. There's been record levels of homelessness throughout Ireland and throughout the Northwest this year. And this Housing for All scheme, which they launched in 2021, has failed us. And we see that because of the situation that we're in now in Donegal, and, you know, six houses being built in the last 5 years just was not good enough, and they need to do more in the house. The council need to start building more houses, and that, again, like I said, is our main objective on Thursday when we go to the council office in Dunloe. And we'd also urge anybody else to come around in the surrounding areas, you know, Burtonport, Lochinure, Crawley, Gidor, Mahari, to please come out as well and join us and, you know, have our voices heard that more needs to be done. And, you know, I'm not a county councillor. I don't work there in the housing office, but, you know, I think everybody knows that it's just not working at the minute and something needs to be done.
In fairness, it does have to be said, every member of Donegal County Council absolutely agrees with you. I suspect every official and everyone that works for Donegal County Council absolutely agrees with you. The question is, how do you get the money? And how do you get the land, and how do you get the planning sorted? So it raises the question, how much of this can actually be resolved locally, and how much of this is down to money coming from central government, and perhaps more importantly, the way planning laws are structured at the moment, and the difficulty it can be to actually get the sites and go ahead and do the building. And maybe one of the things we need is a fundamental look at how we actually plan housing developments, and do our planning laws actually facilitate what we need to happen at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's where we need our county councillors and our elected representatives to go to Lifford and for Lifford then to also go to Dublin and, you know, have these discussions and get the action needed in order to, you know, change these regulations that are now in place to make it more accessible to be able to build houses here. And it needs to be done urgently. Like, we're in a massive housing crisis. People are homeless, people are facing eviction, people have been waiting on housing lists for years, and it's just not good enough, and they need to start putting things into action. You know, there's no point in sitting up in the dial talking about things that need to be done. They need to start actually acting on it.
And let's just hear one of the real stories behind this issue, because the stories you're talking about are stories that are being experienced all over Donegal. I want to go to line two, and just stay with us for a moment, please, Rachel. I want to go to line two because we have Chris on the line. Chris, good morning.
Hi, Donald. How's it going?
I'm very well, thanks. Chris, you're in a situation where your landlord is selling a property and you've had notice to leave. You've had that notice for a few months, but you're having difficulty finding somewhere else to go. And that's exacerbated by the fact that you live with your mother, who has a disability.
Yes, I'm a full-time carer looking after my mum. We have a lot of requirements for housing, you know. But it's damn near impossible to get any house anywhere, really. I'm searching four counties.
You're in a situation where you need a downstairs bedroom, downstairs shower and toilet facilities for your mum, that she has access issues, and that has to be factored into wherever you go.
Yes, exactly. That's that's the main problem I'm having is finding somewhere suitable. But even if you weren't finding somewhere suitable, like, I mean, there's still nothing, you know, even for a regular family.
You've had an offer from the council, you were saying, but the problem is the house the council has offered you just isn't suitable for your mum's needs.
Yeah, you see, she uses either a mobility walker or a mobility scooter. And this house in particular that I'm talking about, the hallways are too narrow. There's no way a scooter could go around that, and it's all dependent on how sore she is on the day.
Yeah.
And at some point in the future, she is going to be completely bound into the mobility scooter, and what happens on that day?
Yeah.
You know, it just becomes impossible. So my choice has come down to either taking that house, living there permanently, confining mum to one room, or not taking it, and in 3 weeks' time we're going to be homeless.
I mean, is there any option? I mean, you've been speaking to the council. Is there anything the council can do in the long term, even if you were to take a less than optimal house in the short term? Is there anything the council can do for you in the longer term, either to adapt one of its own housing stocks, or if it has housing stock that could be made suitable, or indeed if there was one that is suitable that perhaps will be coming available in a while? Is the council, because you've said, not only are you prepared to go to anywhere in Donegal, you're actually looking at four different counties at this point in time.
Well, you see, the thing is, and I know this from experience of other people I know, you go into a council house and you're at the bottom priority after that. They don't leave, I mean, sure enough, you'll go back onto the list, but you'll be right at the very bottom. In 20 years, maybe you'll get another house.
Yeah.
Maybe. But there's, I mean, if we go into that house, we'd be lucky to get another house within mum's lifetime, I would think.
And is there anything that can be done in agreement with the council to extend that house or to adapt that house in any way?
I'm not, but the design is, well, the house itself, you can tell that it was never designed for a disabled person. I mean, they said they would put a ramp in if we moved onto it, but clearly it's never been a disabled person in it because there's no ramp there already.
Yeah.
So it wasn't designed for that purpose. I'm guessing we were just offered this because of its emergency situation. And don't get me wrong, Donald, I appreciate that. I do. It's not that I'm complaining. I mean, so many people are sitting waiting on houses and things like that. But how do I accept the house that, I mean, am I just supposed to lock mum in one room and leave her there?
Yeah.
You know, it's not fair on her. Her quality of life is low as it is. You know, she could barely get out. She has other disabled issues or other medical issues. I'll not get into those here because they're semi-private. But,
and they're totally your own business, yeah.
She has a very low quality of life because of a lot of things she has. And I don't want to make that even worse by confining her to a single room in one house.
Yeah.
It sounds ungrateful. Sure, it does, considering so many people are waiting on housing. It does sound ungrateful, and I don't mean to sound that way.
No, in fairness, I don't think it's unreasonable to hope that there would be longer. I think that the biggest issue here, as I would see it, and it seems to me that there must be some way of saying, look, it's not out of sight, out of mind. And the worry you have, if I'm reading you correctly, the worry you have is, as soon as you go into the house that's less than optimal, the council ticks a box and says, right, that's them sorted. That's Chris and his mum sorted.
Yeah.
And we can move on and think about somebody else because, okay, and there's always going to be somebody else who is in need, and there's also going to be somebody else knocking on the door with a very important personal story to tell that needs a response. And that, I absolutely get that. But I can't understand why we can't have a situation where the council says, well, look, we will keep a situation under review. We know what the needs are. And when something else comes, I mean, and even if you had some assurance from them, that if something else more suitable, or that they would be prepared to make some adaptations to actually improve. Is the house you're looking at the moment, is that a bungalow or is it a two-story?
Oh, it's a bungalow. It's a two-bedroom bungalow.
Yeah.
And even realistic at that, at two bedrooms with all... I mean, in the house I'm currently in renting, I have an entire bedroom dedicated to mum's medical stuff.
Yeah.
That's how much stuff I have. And that's... when I go into a two-bedroom, I'd be tripping over everything.
Yeah, I absolutely understand. I absolutely understand that. And the reality is, at the moment, as you said, at the moment you're renting, I won't presume there are supports like HAP available, but at this point in time, we're being told there is no way that even if you found on the rental market what you need, things like HAP are not really going to actually cover the cost in the private rental market at the moment.
Well, in my opinion, HAP is ridiculous. I think the rates are entirely unreasonable compared to the market rates, you know, of houses. I mean, you take us, for example. We're getting the very maximum. You get a 35% increase I think it's called homeless HAP, but we get that because of the cost of the house and the amount of money we have. And after paying your HAP contribution, it really only ends up being around 376 of your rent they're paying.
Yeah.
And that doesn't count towards much of today's rent.
Well, and now rent is, I mean, you'll get very little for less than 1,200, if anything.
If you're lucky. You'd be lucky to get that even. And Letterkenny, especially, of all places, you know, is even worse. But the house I'm currently renting is $850 a month. And even with HAP, I'm out of pocket $126 a week.
Yeah.
And that's a lot to coming out of carers allowance and disability.
Of course. Chris, I mean, I absolutely hear what you're saying, and I presume you've had discussions with councillors, I presume you've had plenty of discussions with the housing office and so on, and all we can do is look, wish you well, and hopefully, if anyone is out there in the private market that can help, I mean, hopefully you'll get in touch with them, or if not, then you have a decision to make as to do you take the house you've been offered on the chance that you may get something better, and if you do so, you do so in the knowledge and the fear that you may be creating a longer-term problem, and all I can do is wish you well. I wish there was more we could say, Chris, but at this point in time, there isn't, I'm afraid.
I appreciate you taking the time, I really do.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
But Chris, listen, the story's been told, and hopefully something can be done, because it seems to me that really and truly one of the key jobs facing an office like the Housing Office in Donegal County Council, and I know the pressure they're under, and I absolutely feel for them, because it must be a difficult job to do, to be in that office day after day, hearing the stories they're hearing day after day, and I've no doubt they're hearing 10 stories as compelling as yours every day of the week, and there's no doubt in my mind about that, and I know there's no doubt about that in yours too, but hopefully they will be able to find some sort of a way to ensure that your mum gets the best quality of life she can, and that you and she can be looked after. But in the meantime, Chris, take care of yourself, take care of your mum, and we wish you both very well.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you, Chris.
I appreciate it. Okay.
Going back to you, Rachel, I mean, you've heard Chris's story there, and sadly, it's a story or a variation therein that we hear pretty much every day.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like you said, the council staff, you know, obviously they are trying their best, and they're coming and hearing these stories all the time, and they're trying to solve all of these situations, you know, putting band-aids over all of them, because obviously people are becoming homeless, they're facing eviction, they're trying to look for and source accommodation for them. It must be very stressful. And that's why, you know, we need to now, as a collective, you know, raise our voices up and, you know, have it heard in Dublin that this is just not enough being done. It's not good enough. Like, we need more houses being built in these areas, because there's so many stories like Chris's there that are just awful. And, you know, it's people behind these stories that are facing this on a daily basis. And it's just, you know, it's a terrible situation to be in. Luckily, you know, I'm in rented accommodation. Thankfully, you know, me and my partner have a good landlord. We were able to find a house. You know, he's not charging extortionate rent, but we know that we're, you know, one of the people in a lucky situation where we have that, whereas now, like, the rental prices are extortionate here. There is no long-term rental market. It's, you know, it's basically non-existent here in Donegal. At the moment, where we're living, it's, you know, it's suitable for us as a couple, but, you know, if our circumstances changed as well, you know, we'd probably have to move back in with our parents, or,
indeed,
you know, it's a terrible situation that people are in on daily basis.
And the protest event is taking place, as you said, outside the Public Services Centre in Dunloe on Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just asking everybody to please make it out. You know, it is very important, and this is where we need to come together and just say, this is not good enough. You know, the council, the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government, they need to do better and they need to do more.
And what time does it kick off?
At 5 p.m.
5 p.m. on Thursday. Rachel Ní Gealaigh, thank you very much indeed. And we'll be keeping an eye on this. Tuachtaithe is the name of the campaign urging Donegal County Council to build more houses. It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. On Saturday afternoon last, at Letterkenny's Lower Main Street, Katrina's Hair Salon, a customer left the salon having had a job done on her hair. She was preparing to travel to the UK for a family funeral. Instead, she ended up at Letterkenny University Hospital. We're joined on the line by the owner, Katrina O'Donnell. Katrina, good morning.
Good morning, Donal. How are you?
I'm very well indeed, thank you. Katrina, tell us what happened on Saturday.
On Saturday afternoon, normal busy Saturday afternoon, the hairdressers, and there was a lady just leaving, preparing herself to go to a family funeral in the UK. And just on leaving the salon, myself and another customer were just standing at the reception area, and we just heard a loud bang. And on running out, just to find that our beautiful lady that had just left was tumbled to the ground, a bike and a cyclist on top of her just. And it was just traumatic. So it was, honestly, it was a terrible thing, but it was a terrible thing for that particular lady and the young cyclist too as well. Both parties involved were just in a terrible state.
And she ended up in the hospital that evening?
She did. Yeah. She had a few injuries, nothing major, thankfully. She got back out later that night again. And just speaking to her husband earlier, she's going to her doctor's appointments and that now today. But unfortunately, she didn't make it to her family relations funeral in the UK. She was to fly out at 3 o'clock on Saturday after leaving us. And the funeral was to be today. So that came to an end, unfortunately.
And you said that this happened on Saturday, but there have been a number of near misses in the past, including e-scooters as well as bikes.
Yeah, you know, I know the e-scooters are getting a lot of bad publicity. Yes, they are being used on the footpaths, but the bicycles are definitely a problem also. Like, even after the accident happened, and myself and a few of the staff, a few passers-by, neighbours came out to assist the lady and the young person that came off the bike. In the meantime, while injured parties were on the ground, two cyclists struggled to get past us while we were there, and an e-scooter continued to pass us. Now, the e-scooter cyclist, it was a female person on the e-scooter, and while we were all saying, like, this was just going to have to stop, this is no good, she stopped and she continued to have a confrontation with us while the injured parties were on the ground.
Because, like, you were in her way.
It's just because we were in her way, obviously, or we had mentioned something to that effect, you know. But and it's not just in Letterkenny. It seems to be in every town from the feedback that we're getting. And even, you know, I live here in Glenties. I have another hairdressers on the main street here in Glenties. It has happened here too as well.
You know, and the thing about Lower Main Street in Letterkenny as well is the pavement. It's a narrow enough footpath, but there is also a raised sort of curbing. If I'm correct, I think I am. There's sort of raised curbing. So it isn't as though you can just go out and duck. If you're on a bike, you can't, because that raised curbing is going to block you from moving.
Yeah.
So there is no way. You are limited to that small space. So if there is somebody there, if you come across somebody immediately, and what happened is your customer, as I understand it, walked out the door and the cyclist was right on top of her. Even if the cyclist had seen her, there was nowhere for that cyclist to go.
Nowhere. And even, like, they threw her, you know, she just didn't go down where she stood out. They threw, like, she was carried by the bike. You know, it was not a nice scene.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
Well, I would do a fair amount of walking, usually early in the morning, but I would do a fair amount of walking around Letterkenny myself. And I've had two or three near misses now, to be honest. But I'm joined on the line, stay with us, Katrina. I'm joined on the line by Christy, who wasn't as lucky as I was. Christy, you had a similar experience on Friday.
Friday morning, yeah. I was out for a walk like yourself around the town, and I called into the youth club at Lower Main Street there. Just to have a look and see how things were going. And I exited just at the door of the youth club. A cyclist came down on the footpath and straight into me, literally headbutted me into the side of the jaw. He didn't see me. He didn't, you know, unfortunately, it threw me back onto the ground. There was another person there, another elderly gentleman I witnessed there at the time. Now, I certainly remonstrated with the cyclist and told him that he wasn't supposed to be cycling on a footpath. He should be cycling on the roadway and should have taken more care. Now, he was extremely apologetic. He was a young guy in his teens, in mid to late teens. And as I said, I had a few choice words for him there and then. And I still have a sore jaw, by the way. But I reported the matter to the Garda station as soon as I heard the incident the following day with the young woman. Outside Katrina's hair salon, and I thought to myself, you know, there needs to be a stricter enforcement in relation to e-scooters and cyclists on the footpath. The problem is, as I can see it, there is no stricter enforcement. The only things Gard can do is give a fixed charge penalty notice in relation to driving without reasonable consideration. That's for cyclists, and a similar type charge for e-scooters. But the problem is here is enforcement. Every day I see, since the new laws and regulations, even in relation to e-scooters come out, they're not being enforced. So there's nobody there to enforce those laws regarding cyclists on footpaths or e-scooters on footpaths. And that's a problem. And that's where we need to ask the local authorities, i.e. the Garda, they need to do amendments to the bylaws, or they need to for stricter enforcement of those regulations. And I don't think they're not being enforced. And I'm sure if you were to check, Donald, I'm sure there were very few fixed charge penalty notices issued to cyclists or e-scooters for breaching the laws.
Yeah, those new regulations only came into effect sort of in the middle to late last year, if I recall.
That's
correct.
They're
actually only in place for a couple of months, if I'm right. I'm just wondering, is there, and I'm not sure there is because there's parking on both sides of the street, is there scope for a cycle lane, cycle stroke, e-scooter lane, down the main street's narrow enough as it is, and with parking on both sides. And I suppose if you were to suggest, right, well, what we'll do is we'll put a cycle and e-scooter lane and sort of remove parking from one side of the street. I mean, there'd be a hell of a lot of pushback about that. So I'm not sure you could realistically do that.
Yeah, I'm sure there would be, but we're talking about safety here.
Yeah.
Safety not only for cyclists, but also safety for pedestrians. Now, how many of these incidents can happen? I mean, these were two incidents in 2 days. How many of these incidents are near misses? Have to happen, or somebody more than seriously injured maybe suffers some fatality before action is taken. Now, we need education as well in relation to informing people that there are penalties for cycling on a footpath without reasonable consideration, or using e-scooters on footpaths without the proper, you know, regulations to be enforced. And I think we need a stricter enforcement, and also on the side of that, we need further education for people who are using it. I have spoken to people down as far as Kerry who are saying we've seen young people, a lot younger than the average age of 16, using e-scooters around the town without helmets and skipping across roads up onto footpaths and everything else. So this is not just, as your previous caller said, it's just not in Donegal. Yeah. It's all over the country, but we need stricter enforcement.
Chrissy, thanks very much indeed for your story.
You're very welcome.
We wish you well and hope that jaw recovers properly. Going back to you, Katrina, in terms of the lady,
yes,
as you said, she has a doctor's appointment today. You've been speaking with her husband. Hopefully everything is okay and there's going to be no longer lasting effects from this. But this does need to stand as
hopefully
a warning.
Not,
I mean, there is a danger because the reality is people are walking out of shops onto a footpath. And that's what it's not as though they're walking out onto a road. They are walking out onto a footpath. And the last thing you expect to happen is to be hit by a moving vehicle. And let's face it, that's what a bike is, pedal powered, but it's a moving vehicle.
Yeah, and in this case, this lady was just in her 50s and in around the same age as myself. She, first of all, she didn't stand a chance on going out the door. But the next customer that we had going out, bless her, she was in her 80s. And had it been her, and like it was going to be minutes later, I just can't even imagine what would have happened. You know, she wouldn't have stood a chance.
Yeah.
And, like, this wasn't an e-scooter. This was a bicycle. You know, like a small mountain-type bike.
Mm-hmm.
I had to ask the guards, even when they were there, what are the rules like?
Yeah.
And they just said, you know, they shouldn't be on the foot. It's different for a mother and a toddler coming along, or a father and a toddler coming along with their little bikes, you know, encouraging small children
to
cycle their
bikes. It's a completely different thing.
But a completely different thing. But this was just a big, heavy bike, and cleaned her off her feet, and unfortunately caused her those injuries for her to be hospitalised on that particular day. But the guards just said that we need to contact our local authorities and try and get this highlighted.
Yep.
And
well, it's one for discussion,
effect,
Katrina.
Really,
hopefully,
you know?
Hopefully there are no longer lasting effects of this, and the lady goes on to make a full recovery. We hope she does. We wish you and her well, and may this be the last such incident you have to witness and deal with. For the moment, Katrina, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Donald, for having us on. Thank you,
Now. It's the 9 to Noon Show on Highland Radio, and joined in studio by a special guest. We have Corinne Robinson in studio with us, Bunkrana Play Park. And Corinne, this time last year, you joined Greg on the programme to discuss an initiative you were taking in memory of your late brother.
Yeah, that's right, Donald. Thanks very much for letting me come in today to talk to you, first of all. Just over a year ago, we came up to promote a walk that my family were doing in memory of my brother. We were walking from Malinhead to Bunkrana, and the aim was to raise funds for an ability swing, a bird's nest swing, and an accessible picnic bench for the festival play park in Bunkrana. So at that time, our aim was to raise €20,000 for that, and we had other fundraisers in line as well to help us along.
To say the least, it was a success.
It was a success. We're very lucky. We live in a very good and a very generous community. We ended up raising just over €38,000, which enabled us to build an extension to the play park. So we're delighted to say that between the jigs and the reels, the playground is nearly completed. We've been able to add 16 pieces of play equipment in total. And all these pieces of equipment have obviously fun in mind, but they're also, they help with occupational therapy, physiotherapy and interaction. So, and there's sensory equipment there too. So they're important for the playground, important for the community. And we're absolutely thrilled with how the whole project has turned out.
And very, very importantly, the toilets there are being upgraded as well.
The toilets, bogs of Bunkrana, we called it. In the process of doing the playground, I suppose there's always a high focus on the toilets in Bunkrana. They're definitely in need of an upgrade. They're up, I don't even know how long, I'd say well over 20 years. So I sort of made a decision that one way or another, the toilets were going to get changed. So I got in contact with the council, and I have to say they were very good. You know, it's good to work with. So now in the end up, we have installed hand dryers into the toilet. It was basic things were needed on this toilet block. So it was a good clean. So it's been steam cleaned and cleaned inside and out. Toilet roll holders have gone in, hand dryers, some new lighting's gone into it as well. New taps have been fitted. Me and my family are in the process of painting the interior at the moment. My nieces and my daughter are doing a mural on the outside. Tidy Towns are painting the outside of the building. So it's been another community gripping again between the County Council, Fun for All, Freel Family and the general public again are stepping in. So
The wider aim is to get a full changing places toilet in Bunkrana. Now we have one under construction at the moment in Letterkenny in the retail park.
Yes.
And Bunkrana hopefully won't be too far behind.
Well, there is changing places toilets are planned for the new rejuvenation of the shorefront. I'm told it will take 3 to 5 years. It's in the design stage at the moment. But we really are behind. I mean, I think there's 25 changing places toilets in the whole of Ireland, as opposed to 3,500 in the UK. You know, they're really needed. So, you know, an upgrade to the toilet seems great, but there's still a percentage of people that will not ever be able to use our public toilets in Bunkrana. And that's wrong. So we definitely need the changing places toilets sooner rather than later. Yeah.
And you want to start raising awareness of that now, particularly in terms of how to use them, to get the radar keys to use them. It's time to start preparing for that, because, I mean, things like changing places toilets are going to be a game changer.
They are going to be a game changer. And the radar key, just so to tell people what it is, it's a key that gives you access to special needs facilities or disabled facilities. So yeah, like you say, Donal, for the change in places toilets. The key also gives you access to the ability swing that we've installed for wheelchair users. Now the IDP in Buncrana have very kindly agreed to supply those keys. There's a small charge of €5 and you have to supply a little bit of information to prove that you require the key. Which is all okay. So yeah, raising the awareness for the radar keys is important. So everybody who wants to use the swing will need to bring the key with them. We're intending to make sure that each special needs class has got keys as well. So if they come on the bus or they come for a walk, they'll be able to use the swing straight away. So we're very excited about
and
it.
And yeah, as you say, a lot done, more to do. But I mean, fantastic work being done. And what a wonderful way to remember Garth.
Yeah, it is. It's a great way to remember him, Mum. He was quite a character. He had profound special needs and he was non-verbal, but if ever there was an example of communication without words, Garth was it. You know, you knew when he was about, you knew what he wanted, and he was a great character altogether. And it's quite funny too that just this time 20 years ago, the original festival play park actually opened. So it's amazing to see now 20 years on that we're adding this inclusive extension to it. Because really and truly, the festival play park, it's probably the best amenity Buncrana has. It's used 7 days a week. Every, you know, all through the year, night and day, and it's just so good. So we just want to sort of give a nod to the original festival committee who did do the fundraising for that festival play park.
And we know there are huge plans for the whole shorefront area of Buncrana. There's millions going to go into it. The new leisure centre, hopefully will start on that sooner rather than later. Yeah. That whole shorefront area of Buncrana is going to become an absolute flagship of street and urban architecture for Donegal and for further afield. Corinne, it's been great speaking to you. Thank you very much indeed. As we said, what a lovely way to remember Garth. And let's fair play to yourselves and the family as well. Doing the painting yourselves, painting the mural yourselves, you're literally painting the walls of the toilet. I mean, that is community spirit, and it's wonderful to acknowledge that, and it's been a pleasure having you here. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks so much, Donal. Thanks to everybody who helped as well.